I want to talk to you about in 1 Corinthians 15, the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection. You know, a lot of times people go, you know, this is a gospel meeting. We're going to, you know, preach the gospel. They hold up a Bible and say, this is the gospel. But specifically, I want to teach you this morning, not only what is the gospel, the power of the gospel and what it means beyond that. Paul, when he comes to, especially writing to the church at Corinth, he would come to 1 Corinthians 15 and he would say, I'm going to read from verse 1 and following, just kind of get us started here. And now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel, that's what I'm preaching today, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you also stand, by which you also were saved, by which you hold fast the word which I have preached to you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you of first importance that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. So let me stop right there and say, if anyone ever asks you, hey, what is the gospel? You can say, according to 1 Corinthians 15, the gospel is the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. It is everything to what we believe. It is everything to what we preach. Is it at the center of all of it? It's about Jesus, really. It's all about Jesus, and it's always about him. We always want to teach people and focus people, direct people toward Jesus. But more importantly, we want to tell them, we want to teach them. If you want to tell someone the most important thing you could tell them, you want to tell them about the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Paul would say this is of first importance, the most important thing you could do, the most important thing you could believe, the most important thing you could teach someone is the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. So important that Paul goes on to say that if there is no resurrection, there's no reason for us to be here today. If there is no resurrection, then we believed in vain. We're in this life most to be pitied. He says that if there is no resurrection, we've got nothing to look forward to. And then later on, this is the discussion he's having here in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, because there is a resurrection, that is the resurrection of Jesus, a resurrection of the dead, he was the first fruits, he would be the one and the first to be raised from the dead, never to die again. We would know that because he has victory over sin and death, you and I can do. It is the death, it is the burial, it is the resurrection. Have you ever witnessed a baptism? You can shake your head, it's okay. You've witnessed a baptism, right? What are you witnessing? Someone being buried, right? And raised to walk in newness of life. It is a picture of the death and the burial and the resurrection. Even when we're baptized into Christ and raised to walk in newness of death, we're identifying with him. That's what Paul says in Romans 6. Because if we identify with him in his death, we'll also identify with him in his resurrection. So this is everything. In fact, what Paul goes on to say, and this is my lesson today, is that because of this, our best days are in front of us. They're not behind us. You know that, right? As Christians, we have so much to look forward to that I just cannot wait. Heaven is going to be such an incredible place. We're going to have a new body. It's going to be new and improved. And that's what I'm talking about today. I want you to be encouraged in your faith, not discouraged. I want you to know that our best days are before us and you have something to look forward to, okay? And that's the death, burial, and the resurrection. And I love the old story. It really, a long time ago in New York, this competitor, a bank, was moving into a brand new building. And so another bank decided to send them flowers, said, hey, listen, we've been in competition for a long time. We're going to send them some flowers, kind of congratulating them. And but they messed it up. The florist messed it up. The florist also was doing a funeral, and they mixed up the flowers. The one that went to the funeral was supposed to go to the bank, went to the funeral, and the ones that was supposed to go to the funeral went to the bank. And so at the funeral home, they at the bank, they received a card that said, with our deepest sympathy. That didn't sound like a competitor. But I love the flowers that arrived at the funeral home. The card read, congratulations on your brand new location. Now, even though they messed up the flower arrangement, I think there is such a great theological principle here. And that is, one day, y'all, we are going to be in a brand new location, a brand new body. Our best days ahead of us, and that ought to be so encouraging and not discouraging to each and in every one of us. So that's what I want to talk about this morning, just for a little bit. Paul, in 1 Corinthians 15, he's going to talk about now seeds being sown, how important those seeds are to our bodies. This is actually a picture of our daughter when she was a little girl. She's now 35 years old and has two sons. She and her husband live in Castle Rock, Colorado. She has two of our three grandchildren, Malone and Reed, and they are such characters. But this is our girl when she was a little girl, her kid's age now. Her name's Michelle. We call her Shelly. And this is me holding the sunflower up. There's a story behind the sunflower. She came home from school with a little Dixie cup. It didn't have anything in it, just a Dixie cup with dirt. And she said, "Dad, can I plant this in our front yard?" And I said, you know, what harm could it be, right? What's in the Dixie cup? She said, "It's a flower. It's going to grow." And I thought, what harm could a flower be, you know? Sure enough, I planted this little seed into the ground. And this is only part of that sunflower. Actually, it grew, I think that's about 14 feet high. And it grew two heads, two giant flowers out of it. And in the middle of the night, we heard a car, a ruckus, and somebody actually ran up to our house and sawed off one of the sunflowers and ran away with it. That's right, the theft of a sunflower. I don't know if that's a misdemeanor or a felony, but it's pretty weird. And so she wanted me to take this picture of the sunflower. I use this picture to just teach a simple principle. It was a dead seed. That's all it was. It was a small seed we planted in the ground, and it grew to the sunflower. Now, Paul talks about the law of the harvest in the book of Galatians. You know that whatever you sow is what you reap. Whatever you plant is what you get back. Well, what Paul does in 1 Corinthians 15 is he says whatever we plant has to die, and it has to die in order to come back what it was intended to be. And so we took this seed and we planted it in the ground, and this is what grew from that seed. But it had to die in order to get that. By the way, we took that sunflower, and we took it around the back of our home, and we laid it on a picnic table, and the squirrels came and ate on it for years. And not years, but seemed like months, and they're pretty fat now. But this is my reminder that you have to die. There's a really interesting dilemma in our world today, people trying to make us live on forever, saying now that we don't have to die. There, you can put a microchip in you. Have you heard this? You're going to put a microchip in us. They're experimenting. There are things that they're doing. They're going to put microchips on us, kind of keep us alive. Folks, I want to tell you, regardless of what they do to us, we are going to die. All of us will die one day. We're going to close our eyes, we're going to breathe our last breath, and we're going to say goodbye to this old world. I am, my kids are, my grandkids are, and my mom and dad and those who have gone on before us. It's just part of life. It is, and is death. The Bible talks about this. I love Psalms. Moses is the psalmist in Psalm 90, and he said, "As for the years of our life, they may contain 70 years, or of due strength 80, yet their pride is but labor and sorrow, and soon we're gone and we fly away." And he adds, teach us to number our days, right? Every day we get up is a gift from God. We use that day to the very best of our ability. And so what Moses is saying, man, if we live a good life, we may get 70 years, or of due strength, we live a really good life, we could get 80. Folks, I've met people in this building in the last couple of days. I think one of them was 103. Is that right? I don't know, maybe I was wrong about their age, but that lady sure seemed upset when I asked her if she was 103. But anyway, it was a gentleman. But I can't, you know, it's incredible. We have some folks in our country. We have got a man who's 96, turning 97 this year. It's an incredible thing when you live a long time. But regardless of how long, how many years you get, one day we are going to be put into the ground. What Paul said is that we have to die in order to get what's coming to us. Look at verse 35. You with me in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 35? But someone will say, how are the dead raised? So people were saying there's no resurrection of the dead. Paul says, listen, if there's no resurrection, we're in trouble. Paul says there is a resurrection, and because there's a resurrection, then all those things that we thought we were in trouble about are not true. We do have a reason to be here today. We have a reason to worship. We have a reason to look forward to what's happening in our future, right? Because of those things, the best is yet to come. But he doesn't stop there. Obviously, some of the questions were, what am I going to look like? I get that a lot, by the way, at funeral homes and preaching in the last 40 years. You ever get that, Dave? You know, I get it all the time. What am I going to look like in heaven? The answer to that is you're going to look better. That's what the Bible says, that it's going to be better. He says it in Philippians. He says it here in 1 Corinthians 15. Our better days are in front of us. And so he's coming and answering this question, but someone will say, how are the dead raised, and what kind of body do they come? And you fool, he says, that which you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And that which you sow, you do not sow the body until that bare grain, but a bare grain, perhaps wheat or something else. But God gives the body just as he wished, to each one seeds, there it is again, seeds a body of it being sown. So all flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one flesh of men, and there's another flesh of beasts, another flesh of the birds, and another of fish. And there's also heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is one, and the glory of the earthly is another. Therefore, one glory of the sun, the other glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for star differs from stars in glory. There also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown a perishable body, it is raised imperishable. Let me stop right there, and this is what he says. He says, first of all, it has to be planted. It has to be put into the ground, and it changes because of this. It is put in perishable, if you will, and then it comes back imperishable. We know what it means to perish. Our bodies, the Bible says, that are perishing. Fruit perishes. We understand the concept of that. The older we get, the more aches and pains we have. Some of you were bothered. I love this cool weather. Don't y'all love this cool weather? But some, man, got up this morning, their arthritis was bothering them, you know, and, you know, they got some aches and pains and so forth. And we got a guy at church, he says, I'm not getting better and better, I'm getting badder and badder. And that's not true. But it looks like, you know, we're our bodies, they're shrinking and our hair is graying. Falling out or getting thin, and all of those other things sometimes that are discouraging. But this is the creation of God. This is the way God created me, but I can see that I am changing. We may be able to slow down or camouflage, you know, some of that stuff, but we cannot stop it. We are perishing. That's what the Bible says. We perish now, but later, the Bible says. Now think about this. We will be raised imperishable. If you're writing in your Bible or you're underlining, please underline these two things, the contrast of these things. Now it's dishonor, but we will be raised in glory, the Bible says. Dishonor, kind of a way of looking at our body, what may be embarrassing, you know, when we die, we don't have any control about where our body goes or what it does. We die in dishonor, but we are raised in glory. We have no control over that. Kay's dad, we brought him home to our home where he, under hospice care, would pass. Kay's dad was a great guy, instrumental in me becoming a Christian. He's a Kay's Hawaiian, and his father was a full-blooded Hawaiian. Kay's grandfather came from Hilo on the Big Island of Hawaii. And he stowed away on a ship and came to the United States, and he grew up in Miami. And I met Kay and her dad almost at the same time. He ran the clothing store that Kay was working in when I met her home from Freed Hardeman College. And he was a great guy, a great example to me, and a great mentor and friend to me. And I love Cleto was his name. And Cleto Kapua, that sounds like a Hawaiian name, doesn't it? And he would never say, get angry with me, but he would always shake his head like this if I ever disappointed him in any way. One time we were on a pontoon boat and he said, throw the anchor overboard, Harold. And I threw the anchor overboard. I did what he said. And I slowly watched the anchor go into 50 feet of water. It wasn't tied to anything, okay? And the rope disappeared into the water. And I said, hey, I owe you an anchor. And he went, oh, you know. When he died in our home, the funeral home came and they came to collect him. And my friend Chris Banks, who runs the funeral home not far from our home, he said there's some stairs going down to this room that we had Cled in for those 2 weeks. We'd sing, you know, we'd have people come in and visit. And Chris said, you know, I'm going to take care of this. And Chris, pretty big fella, pretty strong guy, and he went down and he lifted Kay's dad and carried him up those stairs and put him on a gurney. The Apostle Paul said, our citizenship is in heaven, which we eagerly wait a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. They may be buried in dishonor, but they will be raised in glory. Raised, not deformed, not decomposed, not a scary, horrifying kind of thing, but raised in glory. Can you imagine raised in brilliance, raised in beauty, raised in God's splendor? That's what the Bible says. Raised in excellence, raised in magnificence. We may be buried in dishonor, but we will be raised in glory. We will be buried in weakness. Now there is weakness, but later we will be raised in power. Are you losing your strength? I've noticed that. I used to be pretty strong. Not that I work out a lot, I used to grip things. Are y'all losing your grip? Some of you, you know what I'm talking about? I have to get Kay now to open jars for me, which is kind of embarrassing. Now she can't open them. Our son, he's about 6'5 and pretty strong, so we can set things aside. And I was complaining about this from the pulpit one time, and some sweet old lady from our congregation brought to the office this contraption that opened jars for me. And y'all, it is absolutely frightening. I'm afraid to use it. It sits on the counter and you put a jar in it, and it's like metal and metallic, and you crank it up, and it's, you know, it crushes jars, okay? And so we just set things aside and wait for our son to open them for us. And we're losing a little weight that way, we've found. But that's our body. It's growing weak. We see that. We know that, right? And one day, you know, all that weakness will fade away. Can you imagine a time where you're never sick, you're never frail, that you're always fit, always energetic? A couple of weeks ago, my dermatologist said, man, I'm going to take a little piece off your face. He didn't say, I'm going to cut your face and remove this squamous cell stuff and sew it back up. He said, oh, it's just going to be a little nick. He didn't tell me, you know. Some of you have experienced some of that. I was complaining to Randy Medlin, you know, hey, I've got 6 stitches. And, you know, Randy said, I just had 50 done in my back. And I thought, yeah, he's such a show off. And so I think, you know, we all can experience, right, that weakness, but later raised in power. No more pain, no more heartache. Our pain will not last forever. Whatever pain you have right now, back pain, maybe pain in your leg or foot or neck, it will not last forever. Whatever hurts you have now, they will not exist in heaven. What limits whatever you now will never limit you in heaven one day. That's what Paul's saying. Paul said, we're going to be, now we're perishable, but later imperishable, dishonored now, raised in glory, weak now, raised in power. Our earthly body, just think, that's what Paul's talking about. Our earthly body one day will be folded up like a tent. That's no wonder Paul said to be absent from this body is to be in where? the presence of the Lord. Man, how wonderful is that? That's what our body is. It's a tent. And one day it's going to be folded up and it's going to be put away, and we are going to be raised with a heavenly body. This is our earth suit. And one day we will have a heavenly suit that God will give us. Jesus would come back from the grave, remember, and he would meet with people on the road to Emmaus. He would meet with his disciples in an upper room. He would speak with people. Paul actually says here in 1 Corinthians that he would speak to some 500. To him, even one is untimely born, that Jesus would appear to them. He has a new body. It's not a physical body, it's a heavenly body. And one day you and I will not have a physical body. We will have this heavenly body. Same, if you will, but different. People say, well, they know me in heaven. Well, I think the answer to that is yes. You're not going to stop being you in heaven. And the reason I know that is because on the Mount of Transfiguration, do you remember who's there with Jesus? Moses and Elijah. Do you remember that? They've been dead for a long time. Moses did not stop being Moses, and Elijah did not stop being Elijah. And when they were raised, when they appeared with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, they were who they were. What I mean is, you are still going to be you. I'm still going to be Harold. I'm still going to have my personality, and I'm still going to have all that God gave me when I was born into this world. But I will be different. It is the same, if you will, but it will be different. It will be better. He is different in that he has passed through a closed door, remember, and spoke with Thomas about his hands and his side. There will be now mortal, but later we will be raised immortal. And how wonderful that'll be, right? That this body is not forever, but our new body will be raised forever. No longer. Paralyzed, no longer. No longer any wheelchairs. There's a little girl in our congregation, and she was born blind, and she's grown up. She's unbelievable singer, just has a beautiful voice. And she lives in outside Atlanta, but she goes to a special school in Macon. So she goes to this school and then she comes home. And so she has grown up in our congregation. And just about 2 or 3 years ago, Aubrey is her name, she came forward during the invitation. And Aubrey sat on the front pew. Her grandmother came with her. And I knelt down by Aubrey. She knows my voice. She touches my face. She likes my nose for some reason. She said I look like Big Bird. And she said, Mr. Harold? I said, yeah, Aubrey. She said, will you baptize me today? And I said, yeah, you know I will. She said, I want to go to heaven, and I've been studying with my grandma. She's touching my face. And I said, yeah, you know that I will. When I baptized Aubrey, I say, maybe like David says, I got her in the water, and I said, Aubrey, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? And before I could even get it out of my mouth, she said, I believe it with all of my heart, I do. And I baptized her into Christ and raised to walk in newness of life. And on the way home, Kay said, one day Aubrey will be able to see all things, see clearly everything. You see, if not for the resurrection, can you imagine people say, well, I just want to live on and on. Really? Live on and on without sight? Live on and on without hearing? Live on and on in a wheelchair? Live on and on in pain? That's not what God intended. One day, this earthly tent will be folded up and put away, and we'll have a brand new body. It's not made with hands. It's eternal, the Bible says, in the heavens. And he will make it all right in our life. I'll close with this last one. This is actually a statue, a boy named Matthew Stanford Robinson. He was born in 1988. His parents were told by the doctors that their little boy Matthew would have hours to live. And Matthew, man, he was stubborn little guy. He beat the odds. Lack of oxygen and complications to surgeries. He lasted another 11 years. Matthew made it 11 years. And they wanted to do something to honor Matthew, and because of what they believe by way of their faith. It's what I've been teaching this morning just for these few minutes. And so his dad and his sister did this sculpture of Matthew. At his funeral, his obituary read like this: Matthew was a joy and an inspiration to all who were privileged to know him. He was a statement to the supreme divinity of the soul and embodiment of completeness of our spirits yearn for. The godliness of his soul inspired, influenced, and blessed all of us who knew him. He came into this world as a miracle, and he left this world as a miracle. There are some actually organizations that give trophies out with this as the trophy. It is a sculpture of Matthew coming up out of the wheelchair and reaching for the heavens. One day, only because of what Jesus did through the death, burial, and resurrection, that will be true for all of us, that our best days are ahead of us. We have so much to look forward to. There's such a blessing of being in the body of Christ and knowing Christ as our Lord and Savior. And so my prayer for you today is that you will make possible that in your life. If you have not, that you will give your life to Jesus once and for all, that you will believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You'd be willing to turn away from sin and to give your life to him, to be baptized into Christ and raised to walk in a brand new life today. We're going to sing, "Do You Know My Jesus?" What a great song for us to sing. It's a song of encouragement today. I encourage you to know Jesus personally, to make him your Savior today. I'll be here at the front. I know an elder will be with me. If we can help you in any way, you come while we stand and sing the song of encouragement.